You are listening to the Doug Hagman Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagman.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Doug Hagman Investigative Hour for today. It is Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. Thanks for joining me this morning as I lay out exactly what is taking place, the coup that's taking place right now inside the United States of America. It's clear. It is absolutely clear right now what is happening. If you connect the dots, and we are going, I'm going to connect the dots this morning for you. The plan has been exposed. It is to, the ultimate plan is to take down Donald Trump, the presidency, the president, the man, the office, and the country. And this was planned way back last year. Well, this has been in the works for some time. But let me give you kind of an outline of what I have discovered through my research, through my contacts, and even as well, we're going to hear from Jerome Corsi. I'm going to play a couple of clips from Jerome Corsi from last night on the Hagman Report. But here's the deal. Here's what happened. As best I have connected the dots on this in my investigation, it's absolutely clear. The objective, of course. Well, the intent. Let me back up just a tad here. The intended objective in up through last year was to hand over the presidency of the United States from Obama to Hillary Rodham Clinton. It was going to be a coronation, essentially. It was going to be Obama's third term, although there is obvious dislike between the two, that is Obama and Clinton. Regardless of that, the objectives, the communist objectives, making America, taking down, destroying America, and changing it into a socialist and then a communist stronghold here under Hillary. When that didn't work out, plans had to change. Now, you may think, and if you are thinking that, well, that sounds pretty harsh, it sounds hyperbole, that, of course, that the objective here is to create a communist republic out of the United States. Well, no, it's not that far-fetched. Look at everything that has been done, really from both political parties, toward that end. But now what we're seeing here is how the sausage is being made. A look into the back room, and the plans have become much more transparent now. This is unsettling. This is extremely disturbing. And I think every American should demand and absolutely demand that the Sessions Department of Justice get on top of this and do so right now. We're going to be running out of time, but the plan is this. Obama planned to hand over the presidency, the keys to the Oval Office, to Hillary Rodham Clinton. And quite frankly, they were surprised, taken aback by the victory of Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump, clearly, I do believe, is an outsider. When you look at the lineage of all the past presidents and even the putative president of Obama, you'll see some interesting connections. But having said that, Donald Trump is an outsider. And the election, the victory of Donald Trump, that created a panic of the deep state. The deep state was in a panic when, of course, Donald Trump won the election. Now, a lot happened from the date of the election until Donald Trump took the presidency. Things were changed. But there was also preparation and mass surveillance before, during, and after the election. There's a lot of overlapping events, plans that were ongoing during this time for a lot of different reasons. You know, before Obama left the Oval Office, he goes into action, or he went into action by expanding the wiretapping powers, the unmasking powers via Executive Order 12333. And that one isolated incident, or that one incident, assisted what we're seeing now. It facilitated what we're seeing take place right now. Now, I'm going to walk you through this because this is complicated. It's complex because everything is an illusion to a large degree. What we see in the mainstream media, if you watch the mainstream media, and many people still do. Look, don't even tell me that they're irrelevant. No, many people still do. They put their faith, they put their time and effort into watching the mainstream media. The mainstream media, after the victory of Donald Trump, was called into action. After, of course, that initial shock, they were called into action as assets and operatives of the deep state. And it's very clear. It is extremely clear as to what has been taking place. And the advancement of a fictitious, false, fake BS narrative of Donald Trump doing something wrong, collusion with the Russians, a narrative that has really disintegrated before their very eyes. Yet they are advancing the investigation despite everything, despite being caught in the lies. It's almost as if, and parents, if you've had teenagers, it's almost as if you raise teenagers, it's almost as if the teenagers are acting out. And it's much worse than that. The very first clip I'm gonna play you is from Jerome Corsi from last night, because a coup is underway, and I think he lays it out very well. And then I'm gonna work around concentric circles around that in terms of the information. So I'm gonna lay all this out for you, but first I'm gonna play the clip from Jerome Corsi from last night, kind of giving you the bottom line first, and then working backwards and showing you exactly what is taking place and who is involved and how the Susan Rice unmasking scandal, you remember that? How that plays into this. How everything fits together. Now we can see the criminality that is ongoing. Because at the end of the day, the objective remains to take the President of the United States, Donald Trump, out of office, to take him down. And thus the presidency itself cause a constitutional crisis, and in fact stir up, exacerbate the all of the divisions that exist within America, and create chaos. Who's behind this? Obama. Who's behind this? Clinton. Collectively and individually. There is some, obviously, same goals or shared common goals between the two, despite the animus that exists. But at the end of the day, the objectives are the same. It's a fight within a fight. It's a struggle for who's on top, or who will be on top, essentially. And Obama's presence in Washington, D.C. should tell the tale. And his all of his multiple organizations that he's working with or under the umbrella of Organizing for Action, working together to remove Donald Trump from office. And that's, again, I must reiterate, it is not just removing him from office. It is taking away or overriding the will of the American people. This is serious. It's never been more serious. We have never been in more perilous times than we are today. We are very close to a coup taking place, or actually we are watching a coup take place. And some of the operational assets of this coup include Mueller, Robert Mueller, James Comey. These are all players in this. And, of course, Susan Rice. You've got Obama with Valerie Jarrett. You've got Hillary Clinton. And then you've got the media being used as a propaganda arm for all of them. But, well, this is serious. But I want you to listen to, I'm going to start with this opening statement or opening audio from Jerome Corsi, Dr. Jerome Corsi, the Washington Bureau Chief for Infowars.com, noted author, my goodness, prolific author, many, many columns, many books. But listen to what he had to say from the Hagman Report yesterday, September 19th, 2017. Go ahead and roll clip one.
If Trump doesn't fight back, and he can fight back, but he's got to understand that a coup is underway, and the deep state does not intend to allow Trump to rule. And he better take a hard lesson from John Kennedy, because in the final analysis, if they can't control him, they'll assassinate him. And the attempt's going to be made in the next 6 months to either get Donald Trump to resign or to get him impeached or to declare him mentally incompetent. But Mueller is going to play a big role in that. How quickly is it going to come down? I think it could start coming down in the next 60 days. It'll start with Manafort. It'll start with Flynn. And then they're going to try to have it be ready to, you know, produce the charges against Trump and before he has time to act. And then Trump is going to be faced with either a criminal indictment or advice going into the House for an impeachment on obstruction of justice. Those charges don't have to be provable.
Right.
Mueller does not need to be able to prove the case. He just needs to be able to make an indictment. We can make an indictment right now.
That was Jerome Corsi from last night, the Hagman Report, being interviewed. Better take a lesson from JFK, because the deep state cannot have him be an impediment toward the unification, the consolidation of power. The deep state, of course, is fighting with Donald Trump. And this goes back to, the elements here of what is taking place. The independent counsel that exists, Robert Mueller, operating independent counsel, is focusing his efforts, of course, on Paul Manafort as well as others, but it's in particular Paul Manafort. It came to light this week that investigators wiretapped former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort under secret court orders, two separate FISA orders before and after the election. Now, this came out via CNN, and it's an extraordinary step involving a high-ranking campaign official now at the center of this fake Russian narrative, all right? But this all has a specific purpose. The deep state operatives are now just giving Paul Manafort a life colonoscopy, essentially. This is what's taking place. I mean, they're looking at every record. They're going back into his taxes for a number of years, back to 2011 even. In fact, they've gotten until October 15th, I believe, to go through all of his taxes or his taxes through 2011, looking for signs of financial gain and any type of collusion with the Russians or not collusion but communications with the Russians. Now this government operation, again, the two separate FISA court orders were conducted at the behest or orders of Barack Hussein Obama and the people around him. And in that whole circle was the unmasking. Under that wiretapping, expansion of wiretaps, specifically via weaponizing the FISA court against a political opponent, that being Donald Trump. Now think about this. Here is Obama in the White House. And of course, the NSA recording everyone's phone conversations, everyone's email, all of this, but directing and weaponizing, specifically weaponizing the intelligence agencies. Remember, Clapper was the DNI, Director of National Intelligence. Remember, John Brennan was the head of the CIA at that time. Comey the head of the FBI. You have to go back and remember now who the exact players were, their positions, and what was taking place in order to understand what's happening right now. So the Obama regime, including people like Valerie Jarrett and others at her level advising Obama, weaponized the intelligence agencies. This is so important to really wrap, you know, to understand this and wrap one's head around. The first FISA court order was obtained in 2016. I want to say that there's indications that there were this goes back to 2014. However, let's look at the latest two. A secret order authorized by the court that handles FISA began after Manafort became the subject of an FBI investigation that began in 2014. Now, I say that because the FBI investigation began back then. It centered essentially on work allegedly done by a group of Washington consulting firms for Ukraine's former ruling party. All right. Now, you have to recall as well what the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton and even Obama, what they're meddling in Ukraine. Now, all you have to do is research this. The constraints, time constraints of this program will not really permit me to get into that. But just suffice it to say that Obama, as the occupant of the Oval Office, had some interests or did some meddling with the Ukrainian elections, Russia, that impacted Russia. Hillary Clinton, via the Clinton Foundation, as well as Bill Clinton, also did some things in Russia or in Ukraine, had some interest there in the Ukraine. But you're not going to be hearing about that. Instead, you're going to be hearing about Paul Manafort and the FBI surveillance and the FISA warrant that extended at least into early this year. It is projection. It is the tactics of the Alinskys. Do what they do. Use their rules against them. Use their own rules against them and such. Now, the second warrant, the FISA warrant, was part of the FBI's efforts to investigate ties between the Trump campaign associates and suspected Russian operatives. Now, understand that these warrants required the approval of top Justice Department and FBI officials, and the FBI must provide the court with information showing some level of suspicion that the particular subject of the warrant could be acting as an agent of a foreign power. So you've already got the deck stacked with Obama operatives, James Comey in the FBI, Andrew McCabe. Think about this now. Going to the FISA court with documentation, and in that capacity, that documentation, I would say, would be of questionable authenticity. Now, it's not exactly clear, and anyone who says they've got the information 100%, that would raise a lot of suspicion. But it's not clear when the new warrant began. According to CNN sources, who really, the Communist News Network, they really were at the forefront of this. The FBI interest deepened last fall because of intercepted communications between Paul Manafort and suspected Russian operatives. Now, you have to understand this also, you have to understand a couple of things here. Paul Manafort lives and works in Trump Tower and was for a time heading the Trump campaign, again, for a time. Now, to continue on this, there was the first FISA warranted wiretap produced nothing, absolutely no information. So the FBI and the top Justice Department officials, remember Loretta Lynch in the Department of Justice, went back for a second time. They went back for a second time, despite not finding anything the first time. The FBI then conducted a search of a storage facility belonging to Paul Manafort, and they also raided Paul Manafort's home in a 5 a.m. raid. Now, Jerome Corsi talks about this as well. Let's go to clip 2 from Jerome Corsi. That will give you additional insight into the mechanics now of what we're seeing.
Well, I mean, I'm concerned, and I've been trying to warn the White House. I mean, I think, first of all, I've written extensively about both Comey and Mueller, who have a long history of being Clinton fixers. I mean, the one of the more egregious cases there is the HSBC Bank. You know, I'd worked for 25 years in banking before I began writing, and you know, I switched careers when I wrote Unfit for Command. And John Cruise, who had been an officer in HSBC in Long Island, brought about 1,000 pages of customer accounts, and he was trying to get somebody to pay attention to him. Well, I looked at him and I saw immediately that HSBC was running a money laundering scam. And we brought it. I started writing about it in World Net Daily and yep. WND. And we brought it to the attention of the Senate Permanent Investigating Subcommittee and the Department of Homeland Security. Well, it turns out HSBC was running billions of dollars in drug money and terrorist money around the world. Hundreds of billions of dollars. And on the board was James Comey.
Of course.
The head of the FBI, which did nothing about this until I began publishing it, was Mueller. And the U.S. attorney who was in charge of prosecuting this was Loretta Lynch,
no.
the Southern District. Eric Holder was the attorney general. Well, finally, they negotiated a $1.9 billion fine from HSBC, but nobody went to jail.
Now,
I'm sure that the Obama administration was into that hip deep, and
sure.
that the CIA, and you know, a lot has been written on this since Iran-Contra, and since the, you know, the disclosures of the Vietnam War, the Church Committee and others, but especially the Tower Commission, knowing that the CIA has been deeply involved in the international drug trade. Now, you can't have an international drug trade without laundering money, because, you know, trucks full of $100 bills don't do you much good. So this was a criminal scheme that CIA had to know about, probably was operating. The FBI had to know about it, as well as the Treasury. Everybody was hiding it. And Comey is on the board. No real penalty to Comey. Mueller's head of the FBI had done nothing to it until we exposed it. Loretta Lynch organized the criminal penalty. Everybody walked free. Now, those are the people who are also involved in the Mark Rich, dismissing the Mark Rich pardon. And it goes on and on with the number of things that, you know, Comey was involved in, not just Hillary's emails, a long sequence of saying, oh, we're not going to prosecute, and Mueller going right along with it. Now, they're in there, and they're going to do one thing. They're going to try to prosecute Manafort and probably General Flynn on the Russia involvement one way or the other. But regardless, I'm convinced they're going to charge President Trump with obstruction of justice because he fired Comey, and say, put the crisis in saying, well, you know, he needs to recuse himself. What do they charge him in a criminal court? Not just impeachment. And they're going to do it. I mean, I was saying this about Comey during the election. I was going to say, if Comey's in charge, there will be no indictment of Hillary on the emails, because he's never indicted Hillary. He's never recommended taking it to a grand jury and indicting and all these different crises. And twice he exonerated Hillary. And right now you've got a setup, and Mueller is going to do what he can to destroy to get Trump either to resign or to be impeached. And it's coming down. It will happen.
Ominous words from Jerome Corsi. It's coming now. It will happen. And the process. Now, how does the mainstream media fit into this? Let's connect some more dots. Remember, it was March 4th of this year, 4:02 a.m., a tweet by Donald Trump saying, hey, they wiretapped me. And remember the mocking by the corporate mass media. Remember their reaction. If you don't recall, let's play clip three with respect to this, because this is important. This is how a president is marginalized, mocked, and how the office has been mocked by the mass media, the corporate mass media. And this is as much a part of the agenda, the mass media, these corporate mass media shills of the Obama regime are as much a part operational assets to what is taking place as Comey is, in my view, because they are running, they're carrying the water for this particular narrative, despite the facts, despite what was even known at that time. They have been proven wrong. And you know, Sean Hannity played this last night. However, the context in which I ask you to look at this is not, hey, you know, we were right. It is, okay, look at it from an analytical point of view. Look at how the effect that this had on the public sentiment. And look at the erosion of trust, because they're going after the trust of the office and of Donald Trump. So it's important for everyone to go back to the response to the Twitter notice, the tweet of March 4th, 2017, and the response by the mainstream corporate mass media, by the shills to this tweet, and look at how they are deliberately eroding the trust of the office of the president as operatives of the deep state. And I ask you to listen to this in that context, not we won, but in the context, or not any other, not mocking the media, but in the context of how they were used and are and continue to be used to erode the trust of the office and the important role that they have in this operation. Go ahead and play that clip.
The bottom line is, and always has been, there is no evidence that Donald Trump was wiretapped by Barack Obama. It was and continues to be a lie.
Our conspiracy theory president is at it again. And whenever something like this happens, I wonder, what are the president's sources of information? Where is he getting these ideas?
And that has been denied by President Obama, by the former director of national intelligence, and now we know it as well by the FBI director. They are all saying it did not happen. So is the president calling all three of those individuals liars?
I don't think they're taking seriously enough how devastating this is to the American system for one president to say, my predecessor wiretapped.
John? We have been living in, really through the Trump campaign and unto this hour, this alternative reality.
The way that Donald Trump seems to think about what a president can do feels very Nixonian, that he has a much more inflated view of a president's powers, for him to believe that a president could even, in theory, because the election is ongoing, and tap the opponent of his preferred candidate.
Trump's mind is a little bit of a mystery to me still.
So that was the reaction of the press after Donald Trump, March 4th, 2017, sent out a tweet saying that he was wiretapped. And of course, now there will be people that will say, well, there's a distinction between incidental collection of information. You know, he really wasn't wiretapped. It was Paul Manafort who was wiretapped. But did you hear the preparation, the talking points? Hey, we've got the guy's crazy. The guy's delusional. He's paranoid. He's seeing ghosts where there are none. He's seeing conspiracies where there are none. And of course, the alternative mass or the alternative media, us, the honest media, we are paranoid too. We are conspiracy nuts and kooks. This is how we fit into this. This is how, as well, this is why I bring Sean Hannity into this, into the picture as well, because he is the leader in the corporate media world, I suppose. He is the leader in getting the information out there like this. collecting this kind of information, getting it out there like this, and showing to a large degree how the media is really playing into this, which or being used by the deep state to advance this narrative that Donald Trump is crazy. So here we have it. We are in the midst of a coup. You heard from Jerome Corsi last night, and of course this morning, edited clips, selected clips of from Jerome Corsi, of the tactics, of the objective, and the fact that it is happening now. And it's clear that we have a coup that's underway. And if you listen carefully to the media, you can see their role in this. You can see that they are actively saying that Donald Trump is unstable, that he's, again, seeing things that aren't there. And this is all part of that whole process. So what is the end game objective here? What it always was. The third term of Obama. The social, making America a socialist and then a communist nation, to take it out, take away our representative republic, to take that away from the American people, to override the will of the American people. And if you don't believe that, then with the evidence that is now coming forward, I don't know what to say. But I will say this, the Trump Department of Justice so far has been AWOL. Jeff Sessions, pick up the red courtesy phone. What are you doing? This is a runaway investigation, a runaway independent counsel, one that is attempting to leverage the information, existent or not, the findings of Paul Manafort. We're with Paul Manafort. And to get at Donald Trump and to take Donald Trump down. And I would also suggest that this is a big part why we are not seeing any forward movement in Congress. The gridlock that we're seeing. I do believe that that both parties, the higher levels of both parties, know exactly what's taking place. And to a large extent, biding their time. Folks, I'm dead serious. This is a very perilous time in which we live. And of course, the objective is to take down this country. And as I said yesterday, and I mean this very sincerely, this is for all of the marbles. This is for complete domination. You take down or cause a constitutional crisis in the United States, or take down the duly elected president of the United States, and don't change history. Don't tell me that Hillary Clinton got more of the popular vote. That's not how it works. Pick up a civics book or a civics book, and understand the election process. Donald Trump won. The will of the American people prevailed in this election, despite everything that was thrown at Donald Trump, all of the stuff that was thrown at him. And Hillary, by the way, is complaining about the stuff that was thrown at her, having Comey on her side, essentially not indicting her back on July 5th, instead exonerating her, saying no reasonable prosecutor in the country would take this case. Yet we're still finding more and more and more emails of Hillary Clinton. Thanks to Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, and their efforts. So what we're seeing here is a criminal, really a runaway investigation that is not exposing the criminal elements of our government, as it were, under Clinton and as the Secretary of State, and Obama, of course, as the occupant of the Oval Office. But now we're seeing the takedown, the deliberate takedown of Donald J. Trump as our president. And I'm going to be on InfoWars, the War Room, today at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time with Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer to talk about this and other subjects. So just as an added little bit of information. but this is absolutely serious. Before moving on, one more segment from Jerome Corsi, Dr. Jerome Corsi from last night, the timing of this, a short little segment, 1 minute, really about a minute clip here, of the process that's underway right now that may give a little bit more information and insight as kind of the closure of what we're talking about, what I'm talking about here. So go ahead and play the Jerome Corsi clip. That would be clip B2. Go ahead and play that as insight into what's taking place right now.
Right now, if they're trying to take enough time where Mueller, when he does this, and he's going to do it,
yep,
can make it look to the American people as if he had a basis for it. And right now, it's been hard to find the basis for it. And the fact that Grassley has come out and pointed out that Comey was writing basically his statement that was going to exonerate Hillary before he'd heard all the testimony was a setback to Mueller's plan to bring obstruction of justice charges. But the whole meme on the Russian collusion has largely fallen apart, although they probably will find technical violations and other issues on which to charge Flynn and Manafort in the attempt to get them to agree to cooperate with the special counselor and to say that Trump knew everything and he was guilty from the beginning, just like John Dean did. But I don't think that's going to work. So it's probably going to take them into sometime early next year before they're really able to make their move against Trump. But it's underway right now. It's being considered. That's the assignment Mueller was given, and he intends to do it.
So there you have it. The mechanics, I would say the mechanics, exquisitely explained by Dr. Jerome Corsi, what we're seeing here, the press reaction. And behind it all, and for further analysis, what we're not seeing is, for example, any interest by the media when about Obama's knowledge of surveillance activities that occurred during his watch, or any questioning about Obama's directing that particular agenda, that particular plan. All of this occurred during Obama's occupying the Oval Office. All of this occurred subsequent to the nomination of James Comey to the heading up of the FBI. Mr. Comey, of course, it was on June 21st, 2013, when Obama and James Comey stood at the White House and applauded the outgoing FBI Director Robert Mueller. Remember, Comey replaced Mueller, and Obama had announced his nomination of Comey to be the new director. It was on that date. And now Mueller is, of course, the special counsel. And I think Dr. Corsi laid it out pretty well, the connections. And you can go back and really identify the connections between Mueller, Comey, Obama, and then expand again in concentric-like circles, expand outward the relationships that existed. As we have seen, once again this week, CNN reporting more details on Obama, his 2016 surveillance of people connected to the presidential campaign of Donald Trump. And think about that in wrapping this up. You've got a sitting president, ostensibly a president. We don't even know the man's name. And I keep bringing this up because it speaks to the agenda of the deep state, the tactics of the deep state, the moving parts of the deep state. Obama had appointed Comey to head up the FBI. Comey, with all of the intricate, incestuous relationships with the Clintons, never once indicting Hillary Clinton, despite numerous times, going all the way back to Mark Rich in 2001. James Comey was selected for that position. Think about that. Then you have U.S. investigators wiretapping former campaign manager, Donald Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, using two separate FISA warrants. First one, no information. Second one, well, let's expand everything. And during this time, Susan Rice unmasking and leaking information, as well as others leaking information to the press. Obama making it, expanding the ability to unmask and expanding the ability, or expanding the 16 intelligence agencies, expanding their reach with Executive Order 12333. These are extraordinary steps involving high-ranking campaign officials. The government intrusion of the, actually Obama weaponizing the intelligence apparatus against a political opponent. Remember, Obama was heading this up, and he weaponized the intelligence agencies. The government intrusion, the overreach continued into this year. And we saw the thug, and Dr. Corsi spoke about the thug tactics breaking into Paul Manafort's home. These are not the tactics of a representative republic that has a judiciary that is working properly. The Loretta Lynch, the tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton, that takes on even greater meaning now. The Clinton, her role, Hillary Clinton's role in all of this as well. Perhaps in this case, a little bit more tangential, however, nonetheless benefiting. But once more, when you look at what the weaponization of the intelligence agency, some of the intelligence collected was the basis for what we're seeing today. Well, who ordered that? Obama. Who was the person or entity, who were the people who employed these tactics? You had Brennan, Clapper, and Comey. And at one point in there, during Obama's tenure, Mueller. And the use or misuse of the FISA process. And just to clarify that momentarily, think of it this way, because the FISA process is supposed to be sacrosanct. In other words, the information brought to the FISA court is supposed to be vetted and done with absolute integrity. Think of it this way. Consider this on a more easy to understand. This is how I look at it, okay? Working with police, you want to get a warrant. Well, in order to get a warrant, you have to ask a judge. What you take to the judge, what that police officer takes to the judge looks at it and decides on the warrant based on the merits of the information taken. If that information is not correct, or if it's fabricated or otherwise made out of whole cloth, created out of whole cloth, lies perhaps, and the judge signs off on that, well, that's a huge problem. The warrant is signed and the surveillance is conducted, the wiretapping is conducted based on false information. That is what has happened. And Comey, Mueller, all of these people are the operatives of the deep state. But again, the end game here, this is for all of the marbles. This is for not just Donald Trump, taking down Donald Trump. Of course, that's the that's going to happen if Mueller has his way. And certainly if the deep state has its way, that's going to happen. But this is for the lifeblood of our country. And I would like every conservative out there and every Christian conservative out there to understand that we stand right now as targets, but we're also the combatants in this war, as I mentioned yesterday. Whether we're willing or unwilling, nonetheless, we're combatants. And we have a choice to make. We can be mealy-mouthed, spineless, or we can stand up and say no and make our voices known and make our voices heard, because if we don't do it, who will? We're watching this runaway, absolutely incredible investigation by Robert Mueller, by the deep state, headed by the deep state, whose assignment, as you heard Jerome Corsi say, is to take down President Donald Trump. And if that doesn't work, oh no. You know, it could be by other means, by any means necessary. But think back and understand the players here. The House Intelligence Committee investigation, remember that. Remember earlier this month, in fact, earlier this month, it was September 7th, a column from the Wall Street Journal, Kim Strassel, had raised some very disturbing questions based on recent events at that time in a Washington Post story from the previous year. She wrote this: "The House Intelligence Committee's investigation took a sharp and notable turn on Tuesday." Now, this is earlier this month, as news broke that it had subpoenaed FBI and the Justice Department for information relating to the infamous Trump dossier. That dossier, whose allegations appear to have been fabricated, was commissioned by the opposition research firm Fusion GPS and then developed by a former British spy named Christopher Steele. And the article goes on. The Washington Post in February reported that Mr. Steele was familiar, in quotes, to the FBI since he'd worked for the Bureau before. The newspaper said Mr. Steele had reached out to a friend at the FBI about his Trump work as far back as July of 2016. The Post even reported that Mr. Steele reached an agreement with the FBI a few weeks before the election for the Bureau to pay him to continue his work. Let that sink in for a minute. This would have been under Comey, under Obama's FBI, under Obama's intelligence apparatus. What we're seeing here is Donald Trump's assertions of wiretapping, the assertions of political, the tactics of political destruction being validated and, of course, vindicated. Americans deserve to know the truth here, and we are being lied to at every turn. And a part of this, of course, the players include not just the deep state, but the corporate mass media who are lying to us. The entire process has been weaponized against the American people. And I hope everyone understands with sobriety the peril that we face in the coming days. Now, I want to wrap this up with a audio clip from a previous Hannity program. And the reason I'm relying on Sean Hannity in this episode so much is because he has brought out much of the truth. I'm going to wrap this up with a Sean Hannity clip, or a clip from Sean Hannity earlier this month, that featured Jay Sekulow and Mr. Kallstrom talking about Comey and giving some important background information about Comey, about the position that he is in right now, this adds another, yet another dimension to what I'm talking about here. And when you put all of this together, you can see all, in, at least in my view, you can see all of the elements, all of the moving parts, all of the parts at play here. Take a listen to this.
If you haven't concluded the investigation, how is it possible, and you haven't even interviewed the person involved, how do you start drafting what Comey was drafting, which is her exoneration?
Well, it was clear to me, but I think it's clear to everyone now that basically he's been carrying water, you know, for the Clinton folks, Obama, everybody. The whole thing was a farce. I mean, as soon as you know there's no grand jury, as soon as you know you can't compel testimony, you can't compel, you can't get records, you can't take computers for searching, you can't do any of that stuff. It's a farce. The whole thing was a farce from the beginning. FBI agents don't like to be part of farces.
Yeah. Jay Sekulow, let me ask from your standpoint, because I think this is so important, especially in light of the special counsel, which was James Comey's goal after he leaked information to the New York Times, which in itself may have been illegal in terms of the Records Act and other issues he's involved in. But 33,000 deleted subpoenaed emails, acid watch, a wash, bleach pit, destruction of information on Blackberries and iPhones. Why do I think that I'd be calling you if I did any one of these things, because I'd be in jail for obstructing justice and violating the law?
Yeah, well, because James Comey had a predetermined outcome of where this was going. He said that in the information that Senators Grassley and Senator Graham said very clearly, that the information, they were already writing up their exoneration, their declination letter, as it's called, regarding criminality. This was before 16 witnesses are interviewed and before the target of the matter, as James Comey was told to call it, was even interviewed. So what James said was right. This was a faux investigation from the start. And the problem is, it's really been a fraud on the American people here. This whole scenario of James Comey's actions and his statements before Congress were not only incorrect as a matter of fact, but I think puts him in serious legal jeopardy.
Does this now, Jay, open up the possibility that the Attorney General should now get to the truth, considering I think this reveals more than anything else that the fix was in for Hillary and James Comey was involved in it?
Look, I think James Comey needs to be the subject of what's an investigation as to what's going on here. I mean, look at the evidence. I mean, this information is damaging, to say the least. It puts the whole investigation, or whatever you want to call what was going on there, really a sideshow is what it ended up being. It puts the whole matter, as they like to call it, into perspective. It was never intended to be an investigation in the first place, and
exactly.
James Comey was part of that.
Yeah.
That's what James Comey
James
was part
Kallstrom,
of.
James Kallstrom, James, I have so much respect for law enforcement.
I mean, it's even worse than that. You know, Comey, you know, this whole business of this so-called phony Russian investigation, you know, that's all to sidetrack the president so he can't have his appointments. He can't deal with anything else. It's all Comey, you know, playing act two of a farce, basically.
Last quick question. You know, I've interviewed Julian Assange. He said that it was not Russia. I've interviewed him five times. Now Dana Rohrabacher believes him. Does Robert Mueller, James Kallstrom, in your opinion, have an obligation to talk to the one guy on this earth that would know for sure if the DNC emails didn't come from Russia?
Mueller should never be the special counsel. He's got a conflict of interest a mile wide. He and Comey are buddies. I mean, it's just preposterous that the deputy attorney general, number one, appointed a special counsel. Number two, appointed Mueller of all people. I mean, it's just outrageous. Should he investigate? Yes.
No, I think so too.
Sean, I think an investigation. By the way, I think the Department of Justice can do the, as it relates to James Comey. I think the Department of, you don't have to have a special counsel for James Comey. I think the Department of Justice needs to find out about and do the right appropriate investigation with the grand jury as to the leaking of a conversation that James Comey had with the President of the United States. I would start with that and then work backwards to the fact that he predetermined the outcome of the other investigation or so-called investigation. But let's start
Absolutely.
With where this leak started. A leak from the President of the United States. a statement that James Comey had with the president of the United States he leaked to a friend of his to leak to the press. That's inexcusable and should be investigated.
All right. Thank you all. Important things. We'll stay on it. Nobody else in the media apparently will touch it.
So, folks, there it is, at least in my view. If you put all of these moving parts together, all of and as disjointed as you may think this is, you've got to take a few steps back, look at this in its entirety, look at the objectives that have always been the deep state, look at the situation. This is a complex situation. This is not a simple, easy soundbite. Just throw some soundbites together. No, you've got to take this step by step by step, and you've got to look at this all the way back, going back to going back into the last decade to understand the enormity of this criminal cabal that we are witnessing on their actions. It's an incredible time to be alive. It's a perilous time for the United States of America. And most assuredly, the deep state are in their desperate final throes to retain or regain power to take down a president, take down the presidency, and of course, take down us. And I just leave you with this. When you look at this in its entirety, as I have mentioned, it is not just about Donald Trump. It is not just about it's much bigger than any one person. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than I. It's bigger than all of us. I want to mention as well, yesterday Tucker Carlson, interestingly enough, had a person on was talking about casting spells and hexes against the president. And, you know, some people laughed at this and said, oh, yeah, you know, that's more like civil disobedience. Understand that we are in a spiritual battle more than anything else. The battle is as much, if not more, spiritual than it is physical. What is happening spiritually is manifesting here in the physical. That's at the end of the day. That's what's taking place. Because the people in charge know that their time is limited, is very limited. And this is for all the marbles. Again, as I've said before, I think I've identified most of the players here. I think between Jerome Corsi, Sean Hannity, and the insight with using the media assets of the deep state, I think it's pretty clear, at least to me, exactly what's taking place. This goes beyond anything we've ever seen before. And again, we live in perilous times right now. If you like this program, please share it with your friends. Let other people know about the Doug Hagman Radio Show, 9 to 10 Eastern on the Global Star Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio as well. Share this on Facebook, on Twitter, or at least while you still can, because, again, the clamps are coming, or the anvil's coming down, shall I say. And the information is going to be much harder to get out. Tune in tonight to the Hagman Report, special Hagman Report tonight. It's going to be a fantastic show. We've got a fantastic show lined up for you tonight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. Craig the Sawman Sawyer is going to be up tonight for 2 hours. We're going to be interviewing him about a number of things, including this very topic. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Until later on, God bless.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report.
Tune in to the Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.